WildTalkRadio.com.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Oh, yes!
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a matter what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya!
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
The Raw Post Show presented as always by MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. The Triple H era officially kicked off tonight on Monday Night Raw. As it's his show now, we're here to talk about it. I'm Sarak, and joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
There was a lot of anticipation going into tonight's show, so much so that USA actually made the first hour of Raw commercial free. A lot of people were curious coming out of SummerSlam what they were going to do, if we were going to have any more surprise returns, because like Rock said, the Triple H movement has begun. WWE is officially Triple H's coming out of SummerSlam, and this show did not disappoint.
It did not. We opened up Monday Night Raw with the one and only Becky Lynch with her arm in a sling. She talked about how she gave it everything she had. She hit rock bottom and not knowing who she was when she lost the women's championship. She then finally remembered who the hell she was. It's not about the fancy clothes and other things. It's about the pursuit of being better today than she was yesterday. And she separated her shoulder at SummerSlam, and it's pretty bad. I could either give up or I could give it everything I had, and which is what she did. She gritted through it all, but she also realized how separated from reality she had become. She spoke about how the greatness of the women's division, said how she knew that she gave her best and it wasn't just good enough that night. She said it was only one match and she would not be defined by it. She said she would not be defined by a man. She defined the man. She said her comeback story starts now, and she gave thanks to the BEST that she could be for the last year, and that's Bianca Belair. Told her to come out. Bianca, you know, says Becky doesn't define the man, she is the man. They shook hands, they left. Bianca says she has nothing but respect for Becky Lynch. She said acknowledged the times that they shook one hand with one hand and hit her with the other, but now there's mutual respect and how much she has learned from dealing with Becky Lynch. We cut backstage, and Bayley, Io, and Dakota are beating down Becky Lynch, wrapping her arm in the chair, already injured arm. Trainers were tending to her. Bianca stormed to the back to open up Monday Night Raw.
I like this. I like the acknowledgement that, you know what, yeah, we had some good times, we had some bad times, but ultimately we had some fun and we learned some things along the way. And now we're friends, or at least we can get along with each other. And I liked that little nod between Becky and Bianca. It was a good little moment. It was a good way to kind of write Becky off TV with a separated shoulder. Respect to Bianca Belair for hauling ass in those heels to get to the back. I never thought I would say this, but I've kind of missed a rushed beat down sort of angle where the camera guy is like running and the camera person is running and runs up and comes upon this scene that is Bayley and company beating up Becky Lynch and laying her out and permanently, or not, I shouldn't say permanently, but writing her off TV for a good long while, and then Bianca comes in and makes the save. And they carried that story throughout the show of Bianca chasing after Bayley. And I like how they did that. I like how we had that continuation of the story as the show kind of happened around it. That's, they've done that in the past, but I liked how they did this because they had a really nice follow through on it that I enjoyed. Because at the end there was a... there was a conclusion of sorts to the story that they told tonight, which is that Bianca has backup.
Bianca checked on Becky, who was getting ice, and she was being checked on by the trainer. Bayley, Dakota, and Io were shown were interrupted by Sarah Schreiber. She says, "It's not about Becky Lynch, it's about us, and you'll see what I mean soon enough." She then went face to face with the Usos. They all went, "Okay, cool, cool." The Usos would be taking on the Mysterios later tonight, and talked about everything that happened. They beat the Prophets, they beat, you know, Roman beat Brock again, and they'll beat the Mysterios again. So that's just a little side teaser right there. But to continue on with the story you were mentioning, Alexa and Asuka had a one-on-one match,
which was pretty good.
Yeah, a couple good minutes of in-ring action before Bayley, Dakota, and Io showed up and started to attack both women. Bianca once again makes a save and then called out one of the women. Io was the one who accepted.
Which led to...
Io and Bianca.
I mean, I could think of worse things in the world than Bianca and Io, and I'm gonna be honest, this did not disappoint. This was good. I like Io's new look.
Yeah, nice look.
It's a nice mix of what she was doing in NXT, and then it harkens back to how she originally came in to NXT, and I like the whole presentation. They let her keep the entrance. I think they tweaked the music a little bit.
A little bit, maybe. I have to go back and listen to it fully.
But this was, I like this match. I would like to see more of this match, please.
This match ended in a no contest after about 17 or so minutes, which 17 minute women's match on Monday Night Raw.
And this is followed up by a good lengthy story told throughout Raw as well.
So you know, Alexa and Asuka come out at one point to even up the odds. This is where it came to a no contest, as all the women were brawling and had to be held apart. So yes, this, all in all, this was one of the bigger stories on this show, and it worked really well. You told it throughout the night. And that's a theme, like, when Raw is good, it's not just here's a segment, and then here's a segment. It's an intertwining story from beginning to end for multiple characters and multiple people and multiple stories, which is what we got on this show tonight. Story number two was the United States Championship, everyone's favorite.
I could hear the IWC screaming with joy.
We got a video package of all past U.S. champions, and we had two contenders matches. We had triple threat matches, I should say. AJ Styles, Mustafa Ali, and The Miz battling in one, which saw AJ Styles get the win with an amazing finish.
Mm-hmm. This was so good.
Styles caught him by the legs and put him down on the Style Clash on top of Miz. AJ advances after he hit the 450, so that was a really great finish. So AJ is part one of the conversation. Conversation number two features Ciampa, Gable, and Dolph Ziggler.
Another fantastic showing. Like, holy crap.
Ciampa would beat both men. So it's now Ciampa and AJ Styles on Monday Night Raw for the number one contendership for the United States Championship.
How you know this is Hunter's show?
Right.
Example
here.
A.
Miz gave Ciampa a pep talk. Miz said, "No, things don't go away there at SummerSlam," but they blamed AJ Styles for helping Logan Paul. But it's not about him. It's tonight. Ciampa is about respect. He has respect for AJ Styles, but he took issue with him helping the social media influencer. Miz said that Ciampa will be the next U.S. champion under his tutelage. So Miz, using his influence and his value as a character to help elevate Ciampa, who then went on to fight AJ Styles for the number one contendership. There was a little interference by Miz helping him along the way when he was almost beat it. He put his foot on the rope. But in the end, Ciampa pinned AJ Styles to become number one contender.
I'm so down for all of this. I mean, I did not have Tommaso Ciampa versus AJ Styles singles on my list of things I needed to see tonight, but I will gladly accept it, and I will accept it again. You want to give me Ciampa and AJ in a full-blown feud of them just throwing their own later down the line? I'm down. I'm so down for that. But yeah, I like how they are having, they're kind of working Ciampa into the spotlight, and you're using Miz properly to help further cement Ciampa on the roster, to help get him over even further and set him up in a position where he'll be on very, very firm footing, and they can establish him where they need to, and then they can slowly build him up towards the title, because he will get there given who's in charge.
He might, and that's the thing. And Lashley says, you know, he sees him hungry, but he'll have to give him a reality check by putting him in the Hurt Lock. But you can see one of the benefits right now of Triple H in charge. We're seeing Ciampa elevated. We're seeing the women being elevated and become more of a focus rather than, okay, here's their one story. Yes, it's one story, but now it's intertwined with 6-7 characters.
What I like what they are doing is they understand that they need to take the pressure off of Roman Reigns. They need to take the spotlight off of Roman Reigns. As good as Roman is, as awesome as Roman is, it can't always be about him, especially when you don't have a bunch of challengers for him. The main focus for Roman right now is Drew McIntyre and getting ready for Clash in the Castle. That's going on SmackDown. You don't need to do that on Raw. And right now on Raw, you don't have any contenders built for Roman because it's all about Drew. So you need to take the focus off your world title, and you need to put it somewhere else. So putting it on the women's title, putting it on the US championship, putting it on the tag titles is a really smart idea by them. And I like it. I like what they did with this show overall. I like the stories that they're telling.
But you know who has their eye on Roman Reigns? Seth freaking Rollins. He says, you know, he injured, you know, Riddle wanted to be like his boy Randy, so he decided to put him out of action like Randy. So now he's on the shelf with a career-threatening injury just like Randy. But now that he's out of the picture, it's time to go back to Roman Reigns and becoming the next undisputed WWE Universal Champion. However, the Street Profits came out. Rollins like, no, stop it, just no, go away, please leave, just get out of my face, go, just no, shut the music, no cups, no nothing. I know your boys with Riddle, but no, just leave. You guys might be the biggest losers in WWE, and how many times you lose to them? You guys suck so much as a tag team, you should probably break up. Way to throw internet rumor into this WWE story. I liked it.
He's good. It's a nice little nod.
Dawkins recalled how, you know, weren't you the guy we beat for the tag team titles before? You know, you and a partner, and, you know, also, didn't you get your ass kicked by Cody Rhodes with one booby? These are factual statements. And then Rollins would, yeah, you know, fighting you guys one on two would be unfair, but, you know, maybe one day we'll circle back around and fight it, and then Profits agree, but we'll have it tonight, a one-on-one match. We do rock, paper, scissors, but it was Montez taking on Seth Rollins. Pretty good match. A first-time type matchup between two. Seth Rollins ends up picking up the win, but Ford, once again, looks really strong.
If you're going to break up the Profits, and I don't mean break up the Profits, but I mean if you're going to have the Profits go solo, this is how you do it. I never like it when teams just turn on each other for really no other reason than they just can. Like, I know they've been building it between the two, but I feel like in this instance, it's like they're so good as a team, you need to leave that option open for them to come back together.
Yeah.
You need to do it, because then that way, it's the best of all worlds for both individuals involved. If you do a breakup angle, you run into that very awkward, difficult reunion angle. And a lot of times, those are very hard to tell. And they become very trite after a while if that's what the story that's always told with tag teams. That's why New Day worked so incredibly well, aside from the fact that all three of those men are incredibly talented individuals. New Day never broke up. They just went and did their own thing individually, and then they got split up in the draft, which was I still have mixed feelings on, but that's neither here nor there. Because some people have benefited more than others, which is still deserved. I'm not taking a shot at all, but there was not equality there. Anyway, I like that they're doing this with Tez and Angelo. I'm looking forward to see where this goes. I actually would be completely down for a Montez Rollins feud, just for the level of obnoxious and entertainment that it would be, because Rollins would be a very, very good foil for Montez's babyface.
Yeah. So, it was the return of the Rated R Superstar. He thanked the fans and said, you know, thanks for the reception. I've been an asshole for the last few months. But that changes now because they both get what they want. Ed said he started Judgment Day with the idea of he underutilized talent, realized their full potential. He said it felt like they were just getting started and it was going somewhere, but Damian and Rhea thought they learned everything they needed to learn from him. He credited them and Finn Balor for pulling one over on him, but Ed said it was time to kill what he created. He vows to end the Judgment Day.
You gotta recover it. That's all I can say. They're trying their best right now to recover and salvage the situation with Judgment Day and Edge, and the fact that you pulled Edge out of that group for no real, again, apparent reason. There was just things done for the sake of doing them, because they wanted to take it in a different direction and Edge didn't want to go that way. So they're like, you know, F you, we're just going to take your group and run with it. So they're trying to, like, I guess, salvage what they can out of it. I don't know. I will say that is kind of one of the things I didn't like about tonight, was that you had Edge attack the Judgment Day and they looked a little bit weaker, except for Rhea Ripley, who just tried to choke Dominic Mysterio with her thighs. Jesus.
Oh yeah, so want to get there now?
Let's just talk about that.
Usos, Mysterio's tag team titles, Usos retained. Good match. Then the Judgment Day attack. Go.
So you had the Judgment Day come out. They come because it's like the match ends and there's like 3 minutes left on the show and you're like, surprise? Judgment Day? Because I felt like that was like the one thing that I think a lot of people were waiting for. And by a lot of people, I mean me. They were waiting for a surprise to happen, or maybe a specific surprise to happen, and it didn't come, and that's okay. But it's like there's 3 minutes left on the show. They have to do something. And you know something's coming, and sure enough, there's the Judgment Day. Finn, Damian, and Rhea all appear, and Damian and Finn start beating up Rey, and Rhea gets an injured Dominic up in the corner, wraps her legs around his neck and throat, and just starts to choke him with her thighs. And she's just screaming and having a good time. And eventually Edge comes out and makes the save. And they get Rhea out of the ring. And the boys take a little bit of a beat down. And Judgment Day runs away with their tail between their legs, which is not the best look for them after Saturday night. But
it all, they started the run away when Edge accidentally speared Dom.
Yep.
And then Edge chased him through the crowd. So Edge, because one of the members of Judgment Day shoved Dom into the spear.
So could that create tension? Could they be teasing something with Dom? It's hard to say. Very hard to say.
Overall, this was a really good show. Story throughout the entire night, and everything you saw in terms of good in-ring action, constant story, and a lot less campiness and stuff, which is good.
It was very good. It, like I said, this show had a great feeling to it. It didn't drag. It just moved, and it just had a really nice flow going throughout it. There was a little something for everyone that wanted it. It was nice because there wasn't necessarily there was like, I think, one or two, but it's like, for the most part, they didn't insult your intelligence in this show. It just was all very even keeled, and I liked that. I liked that about the show. I just like how it felt. Like, it just, overall, it had the same energy coming out of SummerSlam. Everybody's motivated, everybody's excited, and I'm curious to see where this goes, because I think they have some really good things planned.
You can tell there's a focus and there's identity, and they're going to need a lot of that, because we're now hitting August, and you know what happens in about 30-something days, Lindsay?
Clash at the Castle?
Yes, but what happens on television in about 30-something days?
The draft?
The NFL.
Oh, that.
The NFL's back.
I don't
back.
Know when the NFL starts. It just shows up.
They're in camp now. First game's Thursday. There's a preseason game on Thursday.
I had no idea that was happening. No clue that was happening. I'm not into the NFL like you are. When you and Brent start screaming at each other about football, I know it's close.
Football is close. So they have to get you hooked for the fall. and hopefully this regime does it. And they came out tonight with a focus. Tonight's show had a lot of expectation. There's a lot of buzz about it beforehand. And I think they delivered. Did they throw you 10,000 surprises? No, it's not AEW.
But that's okay.
This was a great balance of, hey, we brought back people on Saturday at SummerSlam, and now we're starting their story arcs. And you have week-by-week progression. What we need to see next is what the mission for Bayley and her crew is.
They're letting it breathe.
Yeah.
Which is what you're supposed to do when you do a big surprise. Is you bring somebody in, you let it breathe, you let them have their moment in the sun, you set them up, you get their story going, and you wait before you bring somebody else in. If you need to bring anybody else in, because the point of a big surprise is obviously to give your product a lift. If you do surprise after surprise after surprise after surprise, which I think is what a lot of people are expecting WWE to do, with Hunter in charge, it's not going to have the same level of impact as having one, letting it breathe, waiting a couple months, and maybe doing it again, if you need to. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think Hunter is going to be very, very thoughtful about the people that he brings back and the people that he has on the show, because he has a lot of really fantastic talent. They just haven't been booked or written properly.
Right. He has to re-elevate some talent, bring up some talent, move some talent around between shows, and solidify his rosters. There will probably be a draft, probably in October, if Hunter sees fit. Because the old regime would have, but you're not booking for that old regime. It's Hunter's regime. So if he wants to hold off on a draft, he can. If he wants to shake things up and do one soon, he can. Because he will probably eventually need to fix his rosters.
Well, this is where it's going to get a little tricky, because are they going to continue to keep the rosters separated, or are they going to eventually just reunify the rosters? And you have... where anybody can appear on any show, but you have a set roster for each show,
which is
what they're doing now.
Yeah.
But you just make that permanent, and because you've already unified two of the titles, you've unified the tag and you've unified the Universal/Heavyweight title. US and IC should remain separate, but they're kind of almost leaning more towards unifying the shows than they are doing a draft for Raw and SmackDown. Because you can move people around as you need to without a draft.
Yeah, but you can also build a good draft too.
You also build a good draft, but I don't know how I feel about the draft. I always felt like it was a little stupid.
See, when it's done right, I like it.
I just, it doesn't do anything for me, so it's kind of like we're just going to let it go.
What I liked... originally, I liked when we redid the brand split, that draft. I haven't really enjoyed how they, because everyone's just being drafted back to the same show. When they did it after this, it was the second and third shakeups they did back in the mid-2000s, where you'd bring four people over, five people over, like one pick a week. That shook it up, like a roster shakeup rather than a draft. When they pull the names out of the wheel or the tumbler. That was good. Because it was surprising. Like, you're not drafting the whole roster, you're shaking up the roster. And I think that's more of a thing. Because right now, you can't really draft if there's no authority on either show. A draft only works when you're, you know, doing that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, saying Fox and USA are drafting, it's like, that's cool, but you need a physical representation of it. And I don't think we're going back to the era of authority figures just yet.
No, I think they're very happy with Adam Pearce being sort of the quote-unquote authority figure on the show, and they use him appropriately when they need to, otherwise he's a background player, which is exactly what he should be. I do miss the GMs, I do miss having an authority figure, because I always think it adds something, but at the same time, I feel like it's fine now, because having that pseudo-invisible authority figure works.
Yeah.
In the right applications. Like, he's... because eventually what happens is they always run the same course, which is it always becomes about the GM, or it becomes about the authority figure, and you have somebody go corrupt, or you have, you know, somebody get fired or whatever. Because that's going to be interesting. They can do any more you're fired angles, because that was like the one thing that they could always do with Vince, that Vince just is like, you know what? I'm sick of your shit. You're fired. Now they can't do that anymore, so...
possibly. Okay, we're going to close with this. Early tweet of the week. Rhea Ripley, 4 minutes ago. Dom, be out here living your dreams.
Rhea, don't do that. That's just mean.
I think that's a good way to end it.
I think that's an appropriate way to end it.
It's been the Raw Post Show, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. If you missed it, check out the Rock Extra Reviews SummerSlam, available now, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We're back.
That's right. Tune in. We'll have news, notes, NXT, all your favorites. It's The Rock. Or no, not NXT, but just news and notes. We'll figure out our discussion. It's The Rock, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
There you go. Check out the Rec Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. and entire season 3. Now, Saturday night, midnight, CB Radio returns. And then, like I said last night, I think we're golden for like 2 months. So, cool. Yeah. So there's that. The Greater Than Great Debate. This Saturday night, midnight, Greater Than Great Debate.com. The finish up season 3. Sunday, it's WTR Sunday at Russell Talk Radio. 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday for a Raw Post Show. 11 p.m. Eastern. Hey, did you know if you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit code RockTalk or
Linz M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop for Epic Game Store, where you can buy John Cena. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LINSWD. You can check out my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Linz Ward. You can also check out my YouTube, linzward.rockfridayshow.com, or just look for Linz Ward on the YouTubes. I stream Genshin Impact, and we are flipping the banners tomorrow. Woo! We aren't rolling, but we're flipping banners. Woo! Because we are saving for characters now. But yes, tune in, check it out. I should be live tomorrow, 6-ish p.m.
This has been the Raw Post Show. Presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday night for The Rack and right back here every Monday night for the Raw Post Show. Presented as always by MBG Films, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.